This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Group. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for other great podcasts. You're listening to Coffin Cast. Please be aware that this is a dark subject matter and may be disturbing to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Episode 26 of Coffin Cast. This week, Coffin Cast goes on the road, but first a little chit chat as always, and then we'll get into the trip. So as 2019 draws to a close, the first 6 months of Coffin Cast are over. I'm looking towards the future. I'm looking for ways to expand Coffin Cast outside of death and true crime, but still keep it close to the theme. I'm thinking weird history stories, scandals, sex, etc. Keep it classy, you know, like we do here. But I want to hear from you. So if there are things you'd like to hear about, or if you have ideas on how Coffin Cast can expand in 2020, let me know. Find me on Twitter, email me at coffincastpod@gmail.com. I don't want to change the name or anything like that, so keep that in mind as well. It's got to stick with the theme of death in some way, shape, or form. Or scandals, or whatever. I had so much fun doing this on the road type stuff. I would love to be able to do that more in the future. As of right now, because of funds, etc., I do have to keep it within Texas, so if there's ideas of places in Texas you think I should visit that fall into the Coffin Cast theme, let me know. And you can help me expand my reach, where I go, what I do, by giving me a rating on iTunes or on Podchaser, or better yet, become a Patreon. Patreon tiers start at $1, and there's benefits to being a Patreon at $1. That's less than a cup of coffee, I think. Unless I'm still in, like, 1950s land and a cup of coffee doesn't cost 50 cents anymore. I don't know. I wasn't born then, so I don't know where I'm going with that. Either way, you can find my Patreon at patreon.com/coffincast and help me out, you know? Let's take this show on the road again. Also, tell your friends, tell your enemies about the podcast if you're enjoying it. If you're not enjoying it, don't tell people. Let them find out on their own. But either way, let people know about Coffin Cast so that way the listenership can grow, my advertising monies can come in, and I can go traveling and take you with me. So with that, let's get into the road trip. Ladies and gents, gas up the tank, pack extra undies. Don't forget your toothbrush. We're going to Dallas. Dallas, 9th largest city in the country. Home of the frozen margarita machine and the first ever 7-Eleven. Which came first, the frozen margarita machine or the Slurpee machine, I ask you? I don't know. I know I'm happier for the frozen margarita machine, though. Either way, most importantly to this podcast, it is also the place where beloved President John F. Kennedy was shot and killed. So how did I come to the realization that we needed to go to Dallas, my son and I? Christmas Day, I wanted to get my son and I out of the house for a couple days. I had some time off work. He's, of course, off school. He wanted experiences for Christmas rather than items or objects that would break in a few days or would stay in the box because he wouldn't mess with it. So I didn't know what form that would take, and I was like, I can't afford to really fly anywhere, so what can we do? I'd never been to Dallas. He had been to Dallas to the Perot Museum of Natural Science. I love museums. He enjoyed it there, so I was like, okay, let's go there for a day. I thought we would maybe go and drive back. It's a couple hours drive from Austin to Dallas, but I hate driving long distances. I hate driving in general. I'm just going to put this out there. If I ever got rich or won the lottery, I would not get a maid. I wouldn't get a butler. I would get a driver because I hate driving. So I was like, okay, well, maybe hotels in the area. Let's look. I found an okay deal on a semi-nice hotel downtown, which was close to the museum. It was across the highway, so it wasn't really within walking distance, but cheap Uber distance, really. And so I bought the hotel, I bought the tickets for the museum, and then I'm like, we're gonna stay there, we're gonna get there Thursday, go to the museum on Friday, and then leave Saturday. So that's a couple days of nothing much to do except for the museum. So I was like, okay, what's in the area that we can do? I saw an aquarium, saw a Hard Rock Cafe, saw other little museums, and then I saw Dealey Plaza. The name sounded familiar, but it didn't connect right away. A light bulb went off, if you will. And I was like, oh my god, that's the Coffin Cast episode. It was literally within half a mile of our hotel. It was within very close walking distance of our hotel. That was not the plan to go there initially. It just kind of happened. So let's talk about Dealey Plaza. What is Dealey Plaza? What does it mean? Why is it important? Dealey Plaza is a city park at the west end of Dallas. It's referred to as the birthplace of Dallas because the first home built in the area that made it kind of a settlement was in that spot. There are three streets which converge into the 35 East Highway under a train overpass. And it's basically like this, these three, no, I'd even say probably four stretches of land with two major roads going by it or through it. In the center is a large obelisk and a statue of the namesake of the plaza, George Bannerman Dealey, who championed the revitalization of the area and was an early publisher of the Dallas Morning News. So again, why would all this matter? Why was this a big deal? Why was it important that this was within walking distance of my hotel? This, ladies and gentlemen, is where one of the biggest turning points in modern American history happened. Arguably one of the biggest moments. This is where President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I'm going to do this episode mainly from what I saw and what I learned rather than from sources, etc. I will have to fill in a few blanks, you know, with Wikipedia and whatnot, just to give some more information than I may have retained because I'm getting older, my memory's not as good as it once was. But this is going to be probably more of a personal episode. It may not be entirely accurate, like I don't even know if I said obelisk correctly, but I'm going to do my best to make it as accurate as possible. Regardless of where you stand politically or your thoughts on the man that JFK was, you cannot deny the power and the significance of what happened on November 22nd, 1963. The country was a different place before and after. I'd say it's arguably the day that the collective innocence of the people died and the world became kind of a darker place. I am aware in history there's other dark things that happened, but this was kind of a cultural shift, I think, for the United States. I'm not going to weigh in on whether or not Kennedy was a good president or even a good person. I wasn't alive back then. I don't know. But he was a popular president, mostly well-liked, youthful, progressive. His murder left the country shell-shocked. There are many conspiracy theories out there, and I would need hours and hours to go over them all. So for the sake of this episode, I am just going to deal in facts as best as I can. I will likely just brush up against some of the conspiracies just as they relate to the location itself. So first, why was Kennedy in Dallas? He was there to try to secure some more support from Texas. He and Lyndon Johnson barely went over Texas and lost completely in Dallas during the election. After a meeting with conservative Governor John Conley in El Paso months prior, it was agreed that a presidential visit to Dallas between stops in San Antonio and Austin would take place. Kind of amazes me that a conservative governor would be so friendly with a progressive president. Kind of shows you how times have changed. The visit was announced in September of 63, and the route that the motorcade would take was released publicly on November 18th, just 4 days prior. So the journey was going to take place from the airport, Dallas Love Field, to a luncheon at the Trade Mart. He would travel with the governor through downtown streets so people could see him in a 1961 Lincoln Continental convertible limo. In the car would be the driver, Agent Bill Greer, Special Agent Roy Kellerman, who was up front, Governor John Conley and his wife Nellie, who were in the second seat, and John F. Kennedy and Jackie, who were in the back. The car at the front of the motorcade was an unmarked police car with the Dallas police chief and sheriff, as well as a Secret Service agent and a Dallas field agent in it. Behind the Lincoln was a Cadillac convertible with presidential aides, special agents, plus more Secret Service agents on the running boards. There are a lot of details I could go over, but we're talking about what happened in Dealey Plaza specifically. At 12:30 p.m., Nellie Conley turned to the president and said, "Mr. President, you can't say Dallas doesn't love you." Perhaps a little joke about having lost there in the elections. He replied, "No, you certainly can't." That was the last thing he said. The car turned onto Elm, which turns into a freeway entrance. As the car turned, it passed the Texas Book Depository on the right. Kennedy was waving to the crowd when the first shot rang out. Most of the crowd didn't react, nor did the Secret Service agents. Most claimed they thought it was a firecracker or a car backfiring. Nellie turned towards the president and saw him raise up his arms with his hands covering his throat and face. She then heard another shot, which John Conley said he didn't hear, but felt in his upper right back. The governor yelled, "Oh no, no, no! My God, they're going to kill us all!" Mrs. Conley turned towards her husband and wrapped her arms around him, pulling him onto her lap, which sealed up his chest wound and likely saved his life. She then heard a third shot and was covered in pieces of brain and skull, as well as blood. The first bullet, according to the final findings by the government, entered the president's upper back and the top of his lung, with the bullet exiting his throat just below his larynx. Some theories say that this same bullet penetrated John Conley's back and wrist, while others say there was a second shot. So depending on what theory you subscribe to, either the third or second shot was the fatal shot to the president entering his skull. Many witnesses said they heard three shots, but there was a lot of commotion. After the final shot, whether that be the third or the second, Jackie climbed onto the back of the car, grabbing a piece of the president's skull, just as a Secret Service agent who was riding on the running board of the follow-up car jumped onto the back of the limo. She returned to her seat and held on to the president, according to both the governor and his wife saying over and over, "They've killed my husband. I have his brains in my hand." Jackie later said she, quote, "kept holding the top of his head down, trying to keep his brains in." With that, the car sped off to Parkland Memorial Hospital. 40 minutes later, the president was pronounced dead. 70 minutes later, they had an arrest. Several people, 52% of the witnesses, said they heard shots come from the book depository higher up. One man said that before the president arrived, he saw a man standing in the window of the sixth floor. When the shot rang out, he looked and saw that same man in the window with a rifle. He called the police to tell them what he saw, and he gave a description. Shortly thereafter, Roy Truly, a supervisor at the depository, reported one of his employees, Lee Harvey Oswald, was missing. Before we continue, we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to tell you about Anchor. And also, I'd like to share with you another podcast, Geeksploration, hosted by John and Ben, and let them tell you a little bit about themselves. Then we'll get back to the story.
Welcome to Geeksploration, the podcast. I'm John Williams.
And I'm Ben Robinson. Do you like time travel?
Movies.
Video games?
Comics?
Sci-fi?
Cartoons?
Or how about action figures?
Well, so do we. Every episode, we pick a topic from the geekosphere and have a little chat about it.
So if you've been waiting for a groundbreaking podcast that does all of this and more, you might have what it takes to be a Geeksploronaut.
Come join us every other Tuesday for a fresh installment of Geeksploration, the podcast.
You can find us at geeksplorationpodcast.com or any reputable podcatcher. Likely a few unreputable ones.
About 3 miles away and 70 minutes after the assassination, police officer J.D. Tippett saw a man fitting the description of the shooter walking down the street. There was an exchange before Tippett got out of his police car and was shot 4 times. Oswald, the man they were looking for, ran into a nearby movie theater without paying, and the ticket agent called the police. He was arrested at the theater while attempting to draw a pistol. He was charged with the murder of Officer Tippit as well as President Kennedy. He denied shooting anyone. 2 days after the assassination, he was being transferred to a county jail when Dallas nightclub owner Jack Ruby shot him in the stomach. Oswald was rushed to Parkland, where the president died at his hand 2 days prior. He died 2 hours later. According to Ruby, he did it to spare Mrs. Kennedy the, quote, discomfiture of coming back for a trial, end quote. Others say he was part of a cover-up and was silencing Oswald before he could say anything incriminating. But let's go back to November 22nd. Vice President Lyndon Johnson was a few cars back in the motorcade and was in Dallas when this all happened. He was urged to return to Washington at once, but he refused to leave without Kennedy's body or Jackie Kennedy. They all boarded into Air Force One, and shortly before departing at 2:38 p.m., Johnson was sworn in as president with Jackie in her blood-stained pink suit at his side. There are several photos of the assassination, the lead-up of the assassination, the aftermath of the assassination, as well as the famous Zapruder film. It's a difficult watch, but you can see segments of it in the film JFK. You can also see a little bit of the story behind it in the movie Parkland. Like any person born after the early 60s in the US, I've seen portions of this video my entire life. Jackie's pink dress, the car, the whole lead up. The assassination kind of just becomes part of your history. Most people, I don't think, know exactly where they were the first time they heard about the story, unless they were alive during that time. It's one of those things, like, for people my age, I think the only thing we can really compare it to is 9/11. Everybody knows where they were when it happened. Everybody remembers how they felt. They remember their emotions, things like that. That's exactly what this assassination did to people. It was just something that became ingrained in their personal history. I'd like to talk about Dealey Plaza and my personal experience going there now. When you first step foot on the corner of Elm and Houston where Dealey Plaza is located, it's very unassuming. It's just a busy intersection in a big old city with a few neat old buildings around. And it should be noted that that Dallas did designate it as a landmark. So the buildings all around it are basically as they were in 1963. They're restoring some things, but otherwise it's exactly how it looked in 1963. When you step over there, you see these columns first. There's white columns on either side of the plaza and in the center. Those were there since 1940, so they're part of that national monument thing too. They weren't there to signify anything happening there. That's just what was there when it happened. And there are people everywhere. My son and I were going to try to get into the Sixth Floor Museum, which is in the book depository. There was a line up the street, and buying tickets online showed that they only had one more tour for the day. And the place closed at 5 o'clock, so it would have been a rush job because it was at 3:30. So wouldn't have had a lot of time to spend in there. But we're going to do that next time. So we decided to cross the street to the center of Dealey Plaza, as it looked like the best place to get a look around. As we were waiting for the light to change, a man was trying to push this memorial newspaper at us to try to buy it. I declined. Looked like it was photocopied, and I just wasn't interested. We crossed the street and we got to the center of the plaza and looked at the placard. It told a little bit about the history of the plaza, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning. And then it talks about the assassination. It has a map of what took place where. And then you walk to the front of the plaza, kind of in the center, just over the highway. And then if you turn to the right, you see where everything happened. It's very eerie being there because it's like I said, it's such a part of your history, and then you're there. And on the ground, there's these neon X's. The first one signifying where the first shot took place, and the second one where the fatal shot took place. Aside from the people selling murder souvenirs and trying to save your soul with pamphlets of the Watchtower, it's eerily quiet for how many people are there and how busy it is. There's this heavy emotional fog in the air, and you look over further, and there's the grassy knoll where some people said they heard shots. And then you look up and to the right, and there's the book depository, and there's the window that he shot out of. It all seems like in the videos and in the photos and things like that, it seems like everything's so spread out, but it's so compact and so close together. It's weird. It's such a weird, it's eerie. That's, I mean, I don't know how best to describe it. It's just a very heavy, eerie feeling. People have to drive over the X to get on the highway, and that in it of itself is kind of eerie to watch. Just these trucks going over these X's where this major event in American history happened. Even my son, who has yet to have inherited my fascination with the macabre, wasn't immune to it. He turned to me and he said, "Mom, people are just driving over it like it's no big deal." And he too seemed like he was so, for lack of a better word, transfixed on the scene. It's like you're there. You can't look away. When we finally did get away from it all, we stopped at the corner and read the plaque on the book depository. It outlines what happened there, and then at the bottom it says, "This building gained national attention when Lee Harvey Oswald allegedly shot President John F. Kennedy from a sixth-floor window as the presidential motorcade passed." It should be noted that over time, people have scratched a box around the word allegedly. I have pictures of it all on my Instagram, so you can get a look at, you know, our little trip there. From there, my son and I walked to the Dallas World Aquarium, and that, as they say, was that. When we were leaving Dallas, we did have to go to 35 East and did have to drive over those X's. My son did a full body shudder and asked if next time we could change lanes. So just some of the sources I used to fill in the blanks, as it were, would be the Wikipedia pages of the JFK assassination, of course, the Zapruder film, and also Dealey Plaza's Wikipedia. And I watched the film Parkland just to fill in, again, some of those blanks that just happen when you're pushing 40 and you forget things. I highly recommend heading to Dealey Plaza. It's such a surreal experience. I don't know how else to describe it, but surreal and eerie. Really kind of neat. Also, Dallas in general is just a really cool city. I think I like Dallas more than Austin. Did I say it? I said it. I meant it. It's easier to get around. There's a lot more to do. Austin is lacking in the museums department, and I love museums, so it was nice to be able to go, oh, I can go to that museum later, or I want to go to that museum when I come back. The drive sucked, but oh, just an FYI. If you remember the episode Up in Smoke, I did pass by Corsicana, and I was like, oh, should I turn off there and go see that? And then I was like, no, that's, for some reason, that felt a little wrong to me, so I didn't do that. But I did pass by Corsicana, so with the Todd Willingham case that I did the episode on. So just putting that out there. So this week I am going to continue with those poll episodes, the ones you guys voted on. So the Jenny Jones Show murder next. And then I'm going to do something with wrestling. I don't know if I'm going to do wrestling ring deaths or something a little more specific. I'm still looking into it. But I appreciate all the fans that I have, the followers that I have that are really into wrestling. Wrestling's not my thing, I'm not going to lie to you, but I would never dog it. It's not something that I hate on ever. I think it's valid entertainment. I think it can be fun. Sometimes I catch myself watching it. I enjoyed watching, when I was a kid, I enjoyed watching WWF with Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and all that, but as I've gotten older, my tastes have kind of changed, so I'm not into it anymore, but I appreciate the people that are, and I want to give back to you guys for being so supportive of me. with that, we're going to go ahead and close up this episode. So you can find me on Twitter at CoffinCast with a capital C. Also on Instagram at CoffinCastPod. And on Facebook, just search CoffinCast and I'll show up. And you can email me if you have any ideas or anything that you want me to discuss, or if you have any suggestions or constructive feedback. You can hit me up at CoffinCastPod@gmail.com. I also have a website that I'm not totally proud of, CoffinCast.com, but I own the domain. It's mine for a couple years, so go visit that and tell me how to fix it, because I don't know, but CoffinCast.com is there. So with that, let's go ahead and close this up. I hope you have an excellent new year. I will see you next year, ladies and gentlemen. And just remember, life is but a dream walking, but death is going home. Have an excellent New Year's. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. If you do drink, call a friend, call an Uber, call a taxi. Get home safe. Love ya. Bye. Happy New Year.